In 1920, the Soviet Union became the first country to have legal, unrestricted abortion. And of course, you know, it was free as well. And Soviet abortionists made significant contributions in the development of the suction aspiration procedure during this decade. I think it had come from the UK, the Russians worked on it, then went on to China and Japan, and then it came to the US.
Which decade was that?
This would have been the 1920s.
Okay.
In the 1960s, abortion laws began to change in the United States on a state-by-state basis. Of course, we know of the Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision in 1973. According to the statistics of the Centers for Disease Control, between 1970 and 2015, there have been over 45 million abortions in the United States. That's just the United States. 1990 was the peak year with over 1.4 million abortions. However, since 1990, there has been a steady decline in that rate, with 2015 showing the lowest rate since 1974. And the rate in 2015 was 638,169 procedures. But on average, we're looking between 1970 and 2015, we're talking about a million abortions a year in that period. I mean, it's astounding, the rate. Currently, several states are introducing new legislation regarding abortion. New York has stripped away most restrictions, whereas Alabama now only permits the procedure when the mother's life is threatened. Now, that's going to be, of course, challenged in the courts, and so it's not over yet, and so we'll see where that goes. Orthodox Christians and abortion, this is the next part. And this is the really sad part, and I fear I'm probably what I'm going to talk about applies to nobody here, and you'll see why. Orthodox Christians and abortion. Orthodox Christian attitudes toward abortion reveal a deep crisis for our church. Firstly, countries whose population are by majority Orthodox, or at least Orthodox in name, have some of the highest abortion rates in the world. In Romania and Greece, the Soviet Union had it, very high abortion rates. According to the most recent Pew Research Religious Landscape Study, which you can Google it online, you can read all sorts of statistics. According to this study regarding Orthodox Christians in the United States, this is just for the United States, 53% believe abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. And dividing down between men and women, 48% of Orthodox men hold to this and 52% of Orthodox women hold to this. So it's basically 50-50. Interestingly, the poll asked about their church attendance. And this is, they went specifically, those who hold that abortion should be legal in all and most circumstances, that 53%. They found that 64% admit to only going to church services a few times a year, 17% once a week, and 19% admit to seldom or never attending church services. So among that 53%, you know, almost, you know, that's, no, 83% never or seldom go to church. When asked about their participation in parish activities such as prayer or study groups, 69% answered that their participation was seldom or never. 17% once or twice a year, 9% once or twice a month, and 6% once a week. When asked how their view on abortion is shaped, 60% replied, common sense. 15% philosophy or reason. 14% religion. So 14% actually believe that the Orthodox Church believes in abortion, that it's a good thing. And 9% science. When asked how often they read the Bible, 56% replied, seldom or never. 20% once a week. 13% several times a year, and 11% once or twice a month. When asked about their political views, you'll love this one. 48% replied that they are moderate. 27% are liberal. 23% are conservative. So actually, you know, it shows that it's not a liberal or whether you're conservative or liberal, that'll shape your view on abortion if you're Orthodox. Moreover, they are evenly divided regarding the question of whether the government should be larger or smaller. So half of them say we should have more government, half say less. 76% believe that homosexuality should be accepted, with 70% favoring same-sex marriage. Ironically, 83% of these pro-life Orthodox, pro-choice Orthodox Christians said that religion played either a very or somewhat important role in their lives. So this is the caricature of a pro-life, This is the caricature of a pro-choice Orthodox Christian. They identify as being a member of the church. They will say, I'm an Orthodox Christian. I go or seldom go to that church. But they rarely attend services. They rarely participate in other parish activities, including study groups. They've probably never been here. They base their view on abortion on their stated common sense. They almost never read the Bible. They are, by majority, moderate politically. And they're in favor of same-sex marriage. So that's the character. So it's probably not anybody here. It's very troubling. It's very troubling. By simple observance, we must admit to ourselves that Orthodox Christianity is very weak in North America. Firstly, we are divided into ethnic jurisdictions, which are too often content remaining isolated. The two largest jurisdictions, the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese and the Orthodox Church in America, have seen a steady decline in membership. They're shrinking in numbers. The liturgical life in parishes is often lackluster, and regular attendance, especially at Vespers, Matins, and weekday feasts, is beyond poor. Now, some of you are coming from parishes where I know you have very robust liturgical lives. If you're from Elevation of the Cross in Sacramento, you're from the St. Seraphim's in Santa Rosa, you know, thank God you've got parishes and that really love the services and have them. You have a robust liturgical life. There are only 58 Orthodox day schools, elementary or middle or high. So that's it, 58 in the entire country. There are 2 Orthodox universities. There are 9 seminaries and 1 accredited non-seminary postgraduate institute. There are zero Orthodox Christian hospitals. There are 0 Orthodox hospices, and there are 0 Orthodox clinics. There are very few old age homes. There are very few homes for single moms. I think we have 1 in California, maybe 1 or 2. Not that many. The entire state of California.
And there's no radio stations.
There's ancient. Well, you know, we have ancient faith. I'll defend that because now people are listening to internet radio. So there are 0 Orthodox homeless shelters. We used to have one in the city called Raphael House. Yeah. Gave that up. Yeah. Gave that up, and that's real sad. That was really sad because that was a great ministry. Most Americans come into contact with Orthodox Christianity via festivals. Where presenting the faith has a minimal emphasis. It's all about this culture. Look, ethnic festivals are not bad things, but I mean, if they're coming to your church for a festival, and you know the church is sort of the minimal thing, but it's more about you know the band and the food and you know games and stuff like this. You know, here's your opportunity, and then the church is sort of sidelined. I mean, what's worse is when you have festivals during fasting periods. Sometimes, it's great Lent. Oh, we're having a festival. Oh, that's really showing the faith. So I tried to think of the most average situation, in my mind, of a temptation to have an abortion. What would be like the average American situation? And this is what I came up with in my own mind. So when a 17 or 18-year-old woman gets pregnant out of wedlock, perhaps she's a high school senior living in a middle-class suburban neighborhood whose parents work. They don't. They're spiritual but not religious. They don't really attend any church. They might show up for a Christmas or Easter service. Maybe. Maybe. And she gets pregnant. And then this woman, she has to deal with her parents, with her boyfriend, with her peers at school, her friends. She, of course, she's looking to attend university soon. She's not what you would call a bad person. She gets good grades. She's, you know, she's got her friends. But she's just your typical middle-class suburban high school senior in the middle of the country. It doesn't. It can be anywhere. The question is, will the Orthodox Church's teaching on abortion have any influence on her decision as to whether or not to have an abortion? No. Because it's not like, you know, she didn't go to the Orthodox high school because that was the best high school in the area. There wasn't the Orthodox clinic. There wasn't this presence. In light of the statistics revealed by the Pew Forum, if she does know any Orthodox Christians, they are more likely to support her decision to have an abortion. And thus, our church, our voice is meaningless. Just as the church's voice was ineffective over every other aspect of this person's life. Now, I fear that I'm painting an accurate picture. I hope I'm wrong. I hope someone thinks I'm crazy and says, no, it's actually not that bad. So the crisis is neither abortion or euthanasia. These are among many symptoms that point to a crisis in our present-day church life here and now. And I want to move on to the Orthodox Church and abortion. Here we come to the teachings. We've gone through the underpinnings. Now we go for the meat of the matter. We have seen the great dignity God has bestowed upon humanity. He created man according to his image and likeness and redeemed humanity by becoming fully human. The Gospel of Luke tells us, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." It's, of course, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 40 through 44. So the Gospel is very clear that both Mary and Elizabeth carried fully human persons in their wombs. The hymns of the church confirm this. At the Feast of the Annunciation, and this is the final glory both now verse that Lord have cried. So this is when they open the doors and there's going to be a big procession. This is usually at a Vesper liturgy, I think. We hear these words, "How shall he," sort of referring to Christ, "how shall he whose throne is heaven and whose footstool is the earth be held in the womb of a woman? He upon whom the six-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim cannot gaze has been pleased at a single word to be made flesh of his creature. It is the word of God who dwells within her." So that's what we hear at the Feast of the Annunciation. That means you have to go through the Feast of the Annunciation and not make excuses so you can hear it.